Hello again, and welcome to Lecture 41 in this American History Program of History at Our House for the elementary class. Today we are going to look at the success of Virginia, a great step towards the arrival of the United States of America, because we have been looking at this moment in history where Europeans are trying to come over to America, but they are not succeeding, right? It is something that they don't really know how to do. It is very difficult, and so they are struggling a great deal. In fact, they're even struggling just to get across the Atlantic, right? Which is just staggering for us to think about the comparison between where we are today and where people were back then. In order to get across the Atlantic, you have to be willing to lose 16 people out of every 100. Whew! What math, what incredible math of discovery. And then after that, when you arrive, you're going to find yourself surrounded by, well, not surrounded by, but you're going to find yourself in an area where you have a whole bunch of different, very primitive tribal peoples that you're going to have to try to figure out how to live with. Not an easy thing to do as well. And you're going to have to solve the problem of how to become a successful colony. How to make a life for yourself. And evidently, it was a very difficult problem because we saw that, again, the math here is very frightening. After 2 years of colonization, attempted colonization still really, is 500 colonists had come to Jamestown, and only 60 of them were left. 60 out of 100 means only 12% survival rate. Woo! What a number. And there were lots of reasons for it. Not just how difficult it was to make the trip across the Atlantic. Not just how difficult it was to get along with the natives. Not just how difficult it was to grow food. Another problem was that the colonists made Jamestown in a really bad spot, as it turns out. Certainly back then, for people that didn't have modern medicine and technology, they made it on the spot. If we go back to our screen here of that picture that we had of where the Jamestown colony was, I got to bring it up, but it won't take me a sec. Right? We've got this spot here. They made it on an island in a river next to the sea in a really warm spot. They wanted it to be warm because, well, better to be. They thought it would be better to be warm than to be cold, but guess what? Back then, you had the problem in Virginia. Here in the United States of America, you had the problem of malaria. Does anybody know how you get malaria? What a terrible disease it is, and how bad it can be. You can die from this disease. How do you get it? Abby?
Mosquito bites.
Yuck. So you can get a lot of terrible things from mosquitoes, and malaria was one of them. So they suffered from this disease. And boy, was it a hard life to just survive this beginning, right? So how are we going to get the success of the colony? Well, first we've got to get before we even get success, we have to get survival. We haven't even gotten there, right? Because success means what? When I say success versus survival, do you have kind of a different thought for each of these? What would be survival and what would be success in your mind? Do they sound like the same thing to you guys, or are they not the same? Are we just here today simply surviving? When you get up in the morning, is that what you're trying to do? Or what? Is that what situation we're in? What's the difference in your mind, Abby?
Surviving is to be able to live, find food, water, shelter, usually not be sick, and success is to conquer something, to be victorious, to be able to do things besides just survive.
Yeah, very good. Right, so survival is the bare minimum, right? It means that every day you continue to exist. All right, hold on. We're having a temporary sound interruption. So let's see if we can just survive this here. And so, if not, I will call back and it's back. Okay, sorry about that. So, survival, again, is just waking up each morning. That's survival. All right, so, yeah, we might have some sound issues, but you guys are going to just, I think it's on your end. Sorry. Okay, so, survival is just getting up each morning. Success would be each day is better than the one before. Or not necessarily every single day, right? But life is getting better. It's progress. It means that things are going well for you. Okay, so we're having a sound issue. And if we don't solve it in the next couple, if it doesn't go away in the next few minutes, I will take steps. Okay? So, I think what's happening is that everybody's having a temporary problem and then it's going back. So, who knows what what's going on the internet here. But I want everybody to just be patient. If it goes away for 10 seconds, I don't think you need to chat it to me just yet. If it's happening a lot, then you can chat it to me. Let's try to stay focused even though we're having this problem. Okay, guys? Good luck to us. All right. So, as far as just survival is concerned, we've got Captain John Smith. I think he's the guy in our picture. Where is my... I got a series of images to show you guys beyond this map that we had before, right? I think this is John Smith here in our picture. I can't remember if the artist intended that to be John Smith. But remember, he's the character whose life was saved by Pocahontas. And when he returned to the colony and saw the struggles and the people were not doing the right things. They were wasting their time. He took charge, and he made a very simple rule. Very simple rule. He that does not work shall not eat. Ooh, okay. He that does not work shall not eat. And included in work was not the idea of looking for gold. Doesn't count. So, if you were not doing work, meaning doing something to help the success of the colony, then you would not get to eat. And here we're talking about, what are we talking about eating? For the most part, we're talking about things that they have brought with them. Different kinds of, I mean, today we hardly can imagine what kind of food people ate back then. It's so different now that we have refrigeration and globalization. You wake up in the morning and you're going to be drinking orange juice from Florida, even if you live in the frozen wasteland of Minnesota, like Henry and Wyatt. Just joking, guys. So right today, it's hard to imagine what it would have been like back then to just survive with food. But they would carry food. They would have fish in these barrels, and they would be able to fish, of course. But and then they would have different kinds of dried bread and things that it's hard to imagine nowadays. Beer, I think, or some kind of drinks as well, not just water. So there were different things they would have to eat. And so you were not allowed to eat unless you were working on making more food, planting a garden or something like that, or putting up defenses for your settlement. So this was John Smith's idea, and I think it's pretty fair to say that John Smith was one of the main actors that helped the colony to survive. Okay, but we're still talking only survival. So, what about success? How is that going to come? This is the question. Because what we're talking about right now, right, is a colony that can barely, it actually cannot stand on its own. And what word do we use to describe somebody who's not capable of living on their own? Or maybe, what word do we use, might be easier to think of, what word do we use to describe a person who's capable of living on their own? What word is that? I like hand raising much more than chatting. Henry, go ahead. Or Wyatt.
This is Wyatt Hill.
Yes.
I think it is a comment.
Say it again.
Comment.
I didn't get it. Can you chat it, please? It's not the word I'm looking for, but chat it to me. Nemo, go ahead.
Independent.
Independent. And what's the opposite of independent? Nemo, do you know that one?
Dependent,
right, exactly. And so, guess what? That's what you guys are. That's what it is to be a child, right? When parents fill in their tax forms or other types of documents, they ask the question, how many dependents do you have? What does that mean? It means how many people live in a way that requires you to help them to survive? Which is not a strike against you. That's just what it is to be a child. To be a child is to be dependent. And you've got a lot of learning to do and a lot of education to receive before you can become independent. Now, these colonists as well had kind of a similar struggle. They did not know how to live completely from scratch in a new place. So they were very dependent still. But dependent on whom? Who did they still depend on in order to survive? Abby? Not their parents. Yeah, right, England, sorry to interrupt, right? The people back in England, the colonizers, the organizers of colonization, who would still send more ships with more people to them to support them. And now, in order for them to succeed, though, pretty soon they were going to have to stop being dependent, right? Because even with, you guys are children, right? And about how long do you have till you probably have to stop being dependent? What do you guys think? When do you figure it kind of makes sense for people to stop being dependent and turn into grown-ups? Have you thought about it? Could be maybe a little scary to think about it. Wyatt? But when?
18 to 20 years old.
Yeah, 18 or so, yeah, 18 to 20, 21 in that ballpark, yeah. At that point, you should be ready, maybe a little later even, but that's about when you should be independent. Yeah, you should be ready to be out on your own. So same thing here. There was only a certain amount of time that the colonizers would say to the colonists, we accept that you are dependent, and we're going to keep on sending you supplies and helping you. At a certain point, the guy sending all the supplies is going to say, I'm sorry, it's not worth it. It's just, I keep sending you stuff, I keep sending you more people to help you, and you guys just constantly failing, so that's it, I give up. Which could end up being a really bad story, could be really sad. So they had to figure out how to get themselves to be more independent. How could they do that? So they were going to have to find a way to do what they were supposed to do as colonists. What were they supposed to do? What did it mean to truly be a colonist? You were not supposed to be a dependent. You were not supposed to be somebody living in a way that constantly required help from the people in the home country. At a certain point, what were you supposed to do? Remember what had Richard Hakluyt said? People who are planted in America will do what? For us, not the reverse, right? Not we're going to do stuff for them, we're going to give them stuff, but rather they are going to give the home country stuff. That means you're going to have to start producing something. What did they want people to be able to do? Abby?
I'm not exactly sure what they wanted people to produce, but they wanted people to be able to form colonies, build houses, plant food, produce products, and succeed and live.
Yes, indeed. But in order to bring this place under this distant place, under the control of the home country, right? Make, as you say, succeed and live, build homes and stuff and make settlements in order to bring the place under the control of the home country. And especially, as Richard Hakluyt said, find something or make something that's worth having back home. Provide something to the colony so that... And what was the special kind of unpleasant motive that people had? Why were they supposed to make stuff in the colony? They were supposed to make it so that the people back in the home country didn't have to do something else. Didn't have to do what? Let's make a colony so that we don't have to do what? Was the main reason of Richard Hakluyt's discourse. Nemo?
Trade with France.
Trade with France, yeah, especially, right? But trade with other countries. Okay, so what could they make in Virginia that they would not have to trade with other countries? Well, today, to our way of thinking, it's a very, very strange thing what they are going to decide to do. Because today we have an immediate reaction that what they're going to do is bad. So it's very strange. But what they found was that ever since Christopher Columbus had been to America the first time in 1492, he found these primitive native peoples doing something that was quite fascinating. They were smoking. They had a plant called tobacco. And they would put it in a pipe and smoke it. So nowadays, I'm sure you have seen people smoking. You have been, talked to by your parents about it. And you've seen everybody around and telling you about how terrible this is. And so nowadays, people recognize that smoking is not healthy. That putting smoke into your lungs can really hurt you. So, yeah, we have modern medicine to help us understand this. And so nowadays people don't like to smoke and people are smoking less and less and less all the time. But back then, in Europe, nobody smoked. So, and they went to Christopher Columbus and others start coming back from the Americas and they have this product, tobacco, and it turns out that people like to smoke for a reason. And it kind of can make you feel good a little bit. So people like to do it. Okay, now they didn't know that, well, you might feel good, but you're going to be unhealthy. So it wasn't, in the end, it's not a good choice. But people said, hey, well, this fantastic new thing from America is a way that you can relax. And so a lot of people who smoke think it's a good way to relax, even though it's unhealthy. My goodness. All right, so they started bringing tobacco back, but it was the Spanish who were bringing tobacco to Europe. So if you wanted to smoke in England, you had to buy it from someone from Spain. That's a problem, right? Because your gold and silver of England is going to Spain. Well, a man named John Rolfe took tobacco from the Caribbean and learned how to grow it in Virginia. The natives of Virginia had their own tobacco, but people didn't think that it tasted very good. So he had to do some experiments to find a way to get the tobacco that the Spanish people had in the South and bring it to Virginia and figure out how to grow it. And he finally figured out how to do it. So people started making tobacco in Virginia. Bringing it back, sending it back to England. And now we've got what a colony is supposed to do. The colonists are growing something and sending it back to England in order for people to buy it from them. And now they are independent. Now, instead of begging for food, what can they do? They're growing tobacco, which you can't eat, right? So, now, what does it mean to be independent? You're sending things back. Doesn't mean that you do everything yourself. You're sending the tobacco back to England. People are buying it from you. What do we call that when you are exchanging goods, where one person gives up what they have and the other person gives up what they have? What's our key word here? Everybody's supposed to know this one. What's the word for? Oh, all right, let's give Walker and Allison a chance here. Go ahead, guys.
Trading,
exactly. Value for value. So if you have something of value that people want, you can trade. Well, now you're independent because you're not begging for people to send you food. That's dependent. You have something to give them in return. So the colony was becoming independent thanks to John Rolfe and others who were making tobacco like him. All right, thank you. I'm going to keep you muted, though, Walker Nelson. So, and John Rolfe became famous for another reason as well. He learned how to make tobacco in Virginia. But another reason why John Rolfe became famous is he eventually married Pocahontas. So Pocahontas, who had saved John Smith, eventually, as the story goes, they fell in love. John Rolfe and Pocahontas fell in love, and they married. Now, this was possibly a chance, as this kind of painting shows us, maybe a chance for people, the people of Europe and the people of the tribes of Powhatan to maybe get along, right? Part of this, if we look over here in this painting, maybe I'll zoom in a bit, right? What do you see right here? This is kind of a little subtle corner of the painting. But do you see we have, I imagine that's supposed to be Powhatan. And then we have a kind of aristocratic colonizer. Do you notice what the artist is kind of saying here? What are they doing, these two? Can you see it? I'll give you a hint because it's harder to see. What about down here? What do you see? Not easy to see. What are they doing? Nemo?
They're shaking hands.
Oh, it's Sigourney. Okay, yes, they're shaking hands, right? So in other words, we're not enemies, we're friends. I mean, enemies don't marry, right? And so Pocahontas and John Rolfe were very, very different people from different tribes, different parts of the world, but they are getting married. So maybe there's a chance that people will not hate each other and not fight. It wasn't much of a chance, and it didn't work out, because ultimately, the people of England kept on coming. More and more and more and more of them, and succeeding in building their colony. So not surprisingly, the natives were feeling like, what's going to happen here? There's not going to be any room left for us. And they would, every once in a while, attack the colonists, and there would be little wars. And the more fighting that happened, and the more people from England that came, the more the natives were pushed out of the way. So it was, at first, there was a little bit of hope, and Pocahontas is such a fascinating person. In her story, is a kind of an amazing story for anybody who's interested in learning more about a character. There's John Rolfe, there's Pocahontas, there's John Smith. These are really interesting people. But in the end, the natives were getting pushed out of the way. So, the colony is starting to succeed and starting to survive and to succeed. But in order for it to really take off, there had to be a lot of people who would be willing to come and join the colony. How could they make it happen? It was very difficult. There was still malaria. There was still fighting going on with the natives. There were a lot of problems. So how could they get people to come over? Well, they came up with, the colonizers of England came up with a solution. And I'm just going to put these two things that they came up with. It doesn't have to be so big. I'm going to put it on my screen here. And these are going to be two keywords that we kind of need to know. And so they're pretty, I bet probably when you first see them, you're not going to know what they are. Okay? But we, so let's talk about them one at a time. So the first thing that the colonizers of England decided was there needed to be a reward for colonizers to keep bringing people over. Right? Colonizers, the people who were organizing the companies and bringing people to America, were spending a lot of money, and sadly, what was happening? The people they were bringing over were dying. Yikes. So they were spending money for nothing in a way. It was very hard to survive. So how could they get an appropriate reward for bringing people over? Well, what they said was, anybody that goes over, if you are a colonizer and you want to pay for somebody else to go over, you get to have that person work for you for something like 5 to 7 years. So if that person can't pay for themselves and you're going to bring them over to America, then they have to sign a contract and it says they will be your servant. So hopefully everybody recognizes this word, right? Servitude is like the word servant. Okay? Indentured, no, that's kind of a more complicated word. What's the best way to explain that one? I would say, I'm going to have to think about what the best synonym for that is. I would say servant by an agreement. People would have to become the servant of, I think that's probably a pretty good way to explain it. You would have to agree to become the servant of somebody else by an agreement, as opposed to being the servant of somebody else without agreeing. What would that be? We'll be talking about that as well eventually. What's the word for being the servant of somebody else without agreeing to it? Walker, Allison again?
Slave.
Yeah, to be a slave, slavery, right? So here we're talking about servitude, but it's by agreement. So what the deal was, if you wanted to go to America, you would have to work for somebody else for 5 to 7 years. Well, wait a minute. You might die. It was really hard work. 5 to 7 years? Well, why would anybody want to do that? Well, here came the second part of the idea. And here's the key word, the headright system. Headright has two words in it, doesn't it? Head and right. And so here's what it meant. Every person that went across the Atlantic Ocean had a head, didn't they? Phew, I hope so. And so because of that, they had a right. It was a head, right. And that meant that if you were done, if you went with somebody up for somebody else and you served them for 5 to 7 years, at the end, you had a right to own 50 acres of your own land in America. That was your right for having a head. Your head right. You would get, at the end of your indentured servitude, you would get 50 acres of land in your own name. Now, and if you were a colonizer, if you were somebody that had money and brought somebody else, you would also get a head right. So this was part of the very exciting program for people who wanted to bring others over. They would get 50 acres every person that they would bring over. So the king was trying to create, and his advisors were trying to create a situation where people were excited to come to Virginia. Because if you worked hard and you survived, all of a sudden, you would be the owner of 50 acres of land. Now, this is not land like in Europe, and it's not going to be easy, right? You're going to, when you get 50 acres of land, what do you get? What does that really mean, Abby?
A farm.
No, it doesn't mean that. You get 50 acres of untapped forest. In other words, you get 50 acres of work. But the difference is, if you're going to work that land and you're going to succeed, you get it. You get the products of your effort. You will get the reward. So this is the land of opportunity. Right? This is not the land of gifts. This is the land where if you're going to work hard, you will get the reward. Not going to be easy, but you are going to have to make a life for yourself and be independent. And, well, it worked. It worked. And my favorite story about how well that it worked was that there was a boy who was a mate on a ship. You guys know what a mate is? You know, just kind of a sailor who does really basic hard work on a boat, right? A mate on a ship. And this boy's name was John Washington. Anybody want to guess who this is? This boy's name was John Washington. Make a guess, Nemo.
George Washington's dad?
Pretty good guess, except we are a few generations earlier than that. So he was George Washington's great-grandfather. So George Washington's great-grandfather was named John Washington. He arrived in Virginia as a mate on a ship with nothing to his name. But he decided to stay and work, and he earned his head right. And within 11 years of living in Virginia, here's a great success story, he had over 5,000 acres to his name. So now we know why the Washington family is going to be an important family later on, don't we? Because George Washington's great-grandfather started the success story of the Washington family. He was a penniless mate on a ship, and he built up his property in Virginia up to 5,000 acres. Amazing. So this is it. We are going to have success. We have a product. We have tobacco. And we have an arrangement where colonizers and colonists will work together to come over here, despite how hard it is. And they are going to work hard. And some of them will be servants for a while. And others will get right away. They'll arrive and have a head right. And they'll farm. And they'll clear the land. And they will work as hard as they can. And the harder they work, the better result. And John Washington's going to get 5,000 acres in the end. Wow. Okay, great. So we now are at a point where we have the success of the Virginia colony, which is great, but that's just barely the beginning. Does anybody know how many colonies there were when the United States declared its independence? Because this is kind of where we're headed, right? Where we're headed. It's a very lucky number. Abby?
13.
Yeah, I don't know. People are silly. They think 13 is an unlucky number. Obviously a lucky number because there were 13 colonies and they succeeded in declaring independence for Britain. So we got to work our way up here. Virginia is number one, the first successful colony, but others are going to join them. So here come some other people who are very happy to arrive in the Americas. Anybody recognize them? Their story is also quite famous. Abby? I'm sorry, go ahead.
The Pilgrims.
Yeah, the Pilgrims, as they are known.
The Pilgrims.
Yeah, so we'll talk about them and their colony that they created in Massachusetts. And so we're starting to get these colonies that are going to become the states of the United States. Here's another group of good-looking colonists posing for a photograph. And they are creating their colony too. And Patrick remembers this one because he's been doing his geography work. They are founding the colony of Maryland. So we are going to see a variety of English people coming to America and making new colonies. They're going to be quite a surprising set of different peoples. So that's going to be an interesting part of the story. On top of that, the French are going to start colonizing North America. And if the English and the French are both doing it, and the French are making a huge colony called New France, what's going to happen? Best friends forever. Abby?
There will be more fighting between France and England, probably.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Good prediction. So we're going to get what are called colonial wars. So we got an interesting story coming up next week. We've got new colonies that are going to be added on the, as far as England is concerned, and we've got a colony of France. And so, of course, we're going to get colonial wars. So we got a fascinating story here. After the success of Virginia, how are we going to get to an independent America? We need a lot more colonies, and we need different people coming. And finally, when these colonial wars are over, the American colonists are going to be ready to declare their independence, which we will get to in the new year. Next week is our last week of classes in this calendar year, right? My goodness. So next week we'll keep going with the story of colonization and colonial wars. And then in the new year, the best part, independence! Hooray! Okay, folks. That's it for today. Tomorrow we have history through art. Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye.